It's that time during the week here on 88.9 WCVE when Jeff Shapiro, columnist with the Richmond Times-Dispatch, joins us for his weekly analysis of Virginia politics and the news. This is Reed Snyder sitting in for senior Capitol correspondent Craig Carper this week. Jeff, well, there's, as usual, been a lot happening in Virginia politics this week. Suffice it to say, with President Donald Trump in the area, I would guess that you have been watching his visit to the Newport News area very closely.
The visit specifically was to the Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company, one of the state's biggest manufacturers, among its biggest employers, and one likely to prosper under the president's call to increase defense spending by 10%. Among the good ships built at Newport News ship, aircraft carriers. And so this was a chance for Trump to trumpet the necessity of increasing defense spending. Now, of course, there's a bit of a paradox in the choice of Newport News. Virginia is not a state that Trump carried, and the shipyard straddles a congressional district represented by a Democrat, Bobby Scott, who, while he welcomes this proposed buildup as a jobs generator, he objects to the manner in which it would be paid for, most notably spending reductions in human services. So a somewhat controversial trip in another respect, in that it was likely overshadowed by the latest twist in this Russian election hack. The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, is disqualifying himself from any role in this federal criminal investigation. And that news pretty much dwarfed the president's very brief visit, so brief that the president's remarks were about 14 minutes in duration.
And if I'm not mistaken, Attorney General Sessions came out saying that he would recuse himself, although that hasn't officially occurred yet.
Now, of course, this was announced after the president's visit by the Attorney General himself. But this investigation involves a number of Virginia political personalities, most notably the state's senior senator, Mark Warner. He is the vice chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and it's conducting its own inquiry into suspected Russian meddling in the just-passed presidential election. And it wasn't too many days ago that Warner, among the more bipartisan souls in the Senate, was scolding, albeit gently, the committee's Republican chairman, North Carolina's Richard Burr, for potentially politicizing the investigation by bowing to a White House request that he, Burr, spin reporters on the course of this investigation.
Well, there was another huge loss for Republicans this week in state politics in their loss in the Virginia court over redistricting. Have you been following that case?
Well, actually, two losses for Republicans. A circuit court judge, a state court judge in Richmond, refused a Republican request to forego a trial later this month, challenging about a dozen House and Senate districts. There's a redistricting reform group, One Virginia 2021, which has filed an action alleging that these districts violate the Virginia Constitution, that they are not compact. They are not properly contiguous, and that they don't comfortably align with one another, and that they don't reflect shared community interests. So that trial will proceed at mid-month. But the big news was the U.S. Supreme Court's decision. It is directing the trial court, the federal trial court in Richmond, that upheld 11 disputed majority African American House districts, and has directed the court to consider whether they really are legal using a much narrower standard than it used in initially upholding them. Now, the Democrats have been challenging these seats. They say they're unfair to African Americans, particularly in urban areas, because These are areas that have increasingly diverse populations, and blacks can be elected with multi-racial support. Republicans conceding that this is an issue that is now becoming increasingly complex and arcane, are confident that they can prevail at this, if you will, retrial in terms of making a case to the trial court to uphold these districts.
Well, we have a little time left, Jeff. Tell me about the Trump effect with Democrats queuing up to challenge Republican incumbents at the House of Delegates.
Part of this, I think, is even tied into redistricting. The governor, for example, is challenging the Republicans to give up on their legal fight and perhaps bow to an independent panel to redraw these disputed districts. This is hastening Democratic challenges to Republican incumbents. But the growing and sustained distaste for Trump in Virginia, again, this is not a state he carried, has Democrats hoping and Republicans worrying that this pushback to the new president could actually generate gains for Democrats in the House of Delegates, where they are now outnumbered 2-1. The Republican majority is magnified by hyper-partisan gerrymandering, and that, combined with the low voter turnout of off-year elections, in all likelihood will preserve the Republican majority. But the Republicans are taking no chances. They don't want to talk about Donald Trump. And as the legislature was concluding last week, the Republicans were boasting about all they did for public employees by providing pay raises. Not ordinarily a group that small government, low tax, disciplined spending Republicans like to reward.
Well, of course, the Republicans are paying their lawyers, the Democrats are paying their attorneys to try to work things their way. What happens if the Republicans don't win the governorship next time around with all of the cases they're trying to win? What do they have then?
Well, the Virginia will choose a governor this November. This election will be viewed as something of a referendum on Trump. Maybe what's going on in Washington or maybe what is not going on in Washington will be measured by this election. But Republicans are keeping their fingers crossed that they can see a Republican installed as governor, and that if the Republican majority in the legislature endures beyond the 2019 House and Senate elections, that 2 years later in 2021, when a new redistricting plan has to be put in place for Congress and for the House and the Virginia Senate, that there'll be a Republican governor signing into law redistricting plans that will perpetuate, perhaps for the next decade, Republican legislative power.
Well, that's about all the time we have this week, Jeff. Thank you very much for being here. Join us every week for an inside seat to the topics of the day with WCVE's Craig Carper, who should be back next week, and columnist Jeff Shapiro from the Richmond Times-Dispatch. To learn more or to listen to past features, visit us at www.ideastations.org.